gospel. We'll overcome in a world full of sorrow. By evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
I got to tell you, I'm not happy with House Minority Leader Todd Rutherford. That's here in South Carolina. Democrat from Richland County, that's right outside of the state capitol, and he released a statement a couple of days ago, and I'll get to that momentarily, tell you why I'm not happy with him, but want to welcome Christy Dean into the broadcast.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Hope you'll be back again.
I'm sure I will
I'm sure you will. We don't believe in coercion, but I can apply the pressure. I can apply the pressure. This is the Dean's List. Thanks for joining me, and you know, there's a local issue here. I'm not really going to talk a whole lot about it today. Others are talking about it. In fact, probably the next broadcast I do, we'll talk about it more in depth. But just want to mention it today and then launch into a broader discussion if I can. But Clemson football coach Dabo Swinney invited to receive an award from the Palmetto Family Council here in the upstate, and we appreciate the work that Palmetto Family Council has done, is doing, etc. It was for his foundation and some of the work that he's done. Of course, he's been a proponent of religious freedom. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. And we appreciate all of that, and yet the pressure has come from the LGBT community for Dabo to not accept the invitation to go. In fact, he's withdrawn. I think most people by now know what's happened. He's not going. But with reference to House Minority Leader Todd Rutherford, he said this when Coach Swinney withdrew and said he's not going, he's not going to accept the award. He says, "We applaud Coach Swinney's leadership and foresight on this very important issue. It's a testament to his character as an individual and coach. And it's a sign of the significant progress the state of South Carolina has made." Now, listen to this. "With respect to tolerance and equal rights." Now, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to tolerate, you know, one another in the sense that we can all say we believe different things, but we're not going to coerce each other. We're not going to outlaw each other, those kinds of things. We do believe in equal rights. And yet, what this representative is saying, what Todd Rutherford is saying, is that, hey, if we stand and say that homosexuality is sin, if we stand and say that Roe v. Wade should be overturned, if we stand and say abortion should be outlawed, then somehow we're being intolerant and we're not standing up for rights. And I want to say, well, what about the rights of that baby?
Right.
What about the rights of all our citizens? So anyway, other folk are talking about this. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more, as I said, on the next broadcast. But I just want to use that as an illustration, as an example of where we're going as a culture. I mean, here's Todd Rutherford. He says this: "I hope others follow Coach Swinney's lead in standing up to groups like the Palmetto Family Council who seek to make discrimination illegal and acceptable." Now, again, this is an organization promoting good things for our community, good things for our culture, the right to life, the right to choice in terms of education, you know, all of these things. It's amazing to me how upside down we are in our culture in terms of the thinking. It's not surprising. It's amazing because I've seen this massive shift in my lifetime. Not that it wasn't going on before,
right?
But it's been massive in my own lifetime. But not surprising because when a culture is no longer bound together by a cohesive worldview, namely the Christian worldview, well, then chaos is going to be the automatic inevitable result. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Now, this is our culture. And, you know, I was thinking earlier this morning, I was talking with a couple of folk about the Supreme Court and the decision that they've got with reference to homosexual marriage, gay marriage coming up in June. And, of course, you know, on the one hand, the court, some of the justices, they're thinking, they're struggling, they're saying, are we going to redefine marriage? It's been defined, you know, as between a man and a woman forever. And no country in the history of the world prior to 2001 ever defined it in another way. And so are we going to overturn this definition? Are we going to rush into that kind of a decision? So they're struggling. But on the other hand, you know, someone asked me, well, what do you think will happen? Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, Gary. But I think they're probably going to go ahead and change the definition. They're probably going to open it up to, you know, to gay couples and say, you know, marriage is defined that way as well. I hope not, but I think that's how it's going to go. Now, here's the reality. If it goes that way, then religious freedom is really going to be under attack. It's already under attack.
Right.
And, of course, my mantra is not just religious freedom. It's freedom in general. And the reason I fight for freedom in general is because I care about everybody in America, not just me, not just the Christians. But I certainly care about Christians. I care about my brothers and sisters, and I care about religious freedom. And not only is religious freedom under attack now, but it's really going to be under attack then. And you're going to see an unprecedented assault on religious freedom if this thing goes the way that I think it's going to go. You say, why?
Why?
Yes. Well, I mean, Christian organizations, you know, they're going to be affected. You know, they just say a Christian school that houses married couples. Are they going to now have to house gay married couples? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And don't think that it's not coming. You look at Bob Jones University. Now, a number of years ago, they had this policy where they accepted blacks and whites into the school, but they would not allow blacks and whites to date one another or marry one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we disagree with their policy there, right?
Yeah.
And we think people ought to be able to associate with whomever they want to.
They changed the policy right away.
They did change the policy. I understand that. And they have repented of that policy to their credit.
Right.
But what was the precipitation? What was the impetus for the change of that policy? Well, it was the fact that they were sued by the IRS. And the IRS is going to take away their tax-exempt status. And basically they said, because of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, you got to do what we tell you to do. You got to overturn this policy or we're going to take away your tax-exempt status. You see where I'm going with this? And look. The court upheld the IRS's position. And so this is the thing that brought it to the front. Now, I'm not going to say that Bob Jones' repentance is not genuine. I believe it is, because there's been a massive change over Bob Jones in recent years. You know that, and I know that. But at the same time, here's what I'm talking about. As much as we disagree with their prior policy, we ought to disagree with the heavy-handedness of the government forcing them to do what, in other words, religious freedom. They had a policy on religious grounds, as reprehensible as it is to us. They ought to be protected. And if and see, here's the point. That was sort of the, I wouldn't say it's the first salvo, because there were others before that, but it was a major salvo. It was a major a pointer, a major sign of things to come. And here's my point. When the Supreme Court, you know, affirms gay marriage in June, which I think they will, rest assured, Christian institutions and churches, they're going to be under attack in the same way. They're going to,
right.
The churches are going to be told you can't maintain your tax-exempt status unless you affirm gay marriage. That's where we're going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I really wasn't going to talk about this today. And you're just sort of looking at me because you're like, okay, where are you going? Because I know you weren't going to talk about
this
today.
That's all right. It's your show.
Well, I know, but I got off track. But it's important, don't you think? Do you know why it's important for churches, for example, to keep their tax exempt? Why should churches be tax exempt? If you ask the average American, what do you think they'd say?
I have no idea.
Well, you're right. The average American would say, I don't think they should be tax exempt. They should pay their fair share, just like the rest of us. You ask the average Christian whether or not churches should be tax exempt. They're going to say, I don't know.
Right.
That's what they're going to say. I mean, well, historically, there are a number of reasons churches are and should be tax exempt. One, and let me just give you three, and I'm going to save the really important one for last. Okay?
Okay.
So I want our listeners to not go anywhere. All right.
Okay.
Number one, I mean, there is this reality that churches provide benefits to the communities in which they exist and operate. They counsel people. They get people off drugs. They help families. They engage in charity work. On and on and on. And there have actually been studies done where churches have, and this is an estimate, but the benefit that they give financially to a community far exceeds what the IRS could get out of them by way of taxation. And, of course, if you tax them, then they don't have the ability, the same ability, to do the things that they do. All right? So that's one. Second is related, but the intangibles. You know, helping those families, keeping people out of jail, getting folk off drugs, preventing suicide. You can't necessarily statistically measure all of that. But these are the things that have historically been pointed out when you talk about tax exemption for churches.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been a time since the founding of the IRS when churches were not tax exempt. Now, in the early days of our country, churches were taxed. Well, let me back up. I don't know if I'd say churches were taxed. People were taxed for different religions and different churches, and we got rid of that.
Mm.
Anyway, got off track there for a minute. Had like a brain freeze. I don't want to go too far. But here's the main reason. The power to tax is the power to control. Does that make sense? When you tax, you have sovereign control. You know, you're the monarch. You know, you're the government head. And see, the church and the state are separate. They're two separate things. The state does not control the church, and neither does the church control the state. But the state does not control the church. You can cripple churches with taxation. When you give benefits, when churches accept, let me back up. When the state has the ability to take that money from the churches, they have the ability to control and cripple those churches.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say this boldly? I mean, because I feel like I've gotten off track and I'm not making my point. We've got to go to a break. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not going to pay taxes to Caesar. We're just not going to do it. Now, some might. But true churches won't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Should I elaborate after the break?
Maybe.
All right. We're going to a break. You're listening to the Dean's List. Christy Dean is here. She hasn't said much yet. That's my fault. Maybe we'll get her in on the conversation in just a moment. Hope you'll stay tuned.
The news is filled with the accounts of the conflict between Islam and Christianity, and those conflicts are, of course, rooted in fact, but God is still working in the Muslim world. On the next edition of Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street welcomes guests David Garrison and Paul Philidis to discuss how God is saving even the most hardened hearts, and you'll hear about an exciting prayer movement. Don't miss Breakpoint This Week.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hey, yo, every pizza chain claims to have the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. But Torelli's Pizza in the University Square Shopping Center, they've got the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. And they're locally owned. Check out their reviews on Yelp. A native New Yorker says, right texture and taste. Amount of sauce and cheese, perfect. So, next time you're looking for a yummy New York-style pizza, you need to go to Torelli's Pizza. Visit torellispizza.com for their daily specials.
Miracle Hill provides a bridge to homeless and hurting children and adults. On Saturday, June 6th, bring your whole family to Furman University for the annual Interim Healthcare Miracle Hill Challenge. Registration is now open. Choose from a certified 5K run or a 20, 40, 62, or 100-mile ride. And for the kids, a Miracle Mile Fun Run. Register online at miraclehill.org. Miracle Hill Ministries, shelter, food, and miracles every day.
Hi, Alex McFarland, Jason Jimenez here, inviting you to Truth for a New Generation, the conference on apologetics and evangelism, live in person. Hear Lee Strobel, Dr. Alveda King, the Benham Brothers, David and Jason, and evangelist Will Graham. Don't miss Truth for a New Generation.
That's right, Alex. This year's theme is Jesus, America's Hope. You don't want to miss it. September 18th to 19th at First Baptist Spartanburg. Go to truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
WLFJ, Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archived broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right. Welcome back into the Dean's List. We're glad you've joined us. Christy has admonished me to kind of get back on track, but I feel like I just want to wrap this issue up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, churches, they ought to be tax exempt. We don't want the government controlling the churches, the gospel. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Right.
I mean, we have to do a whole show to really get into it.
Right. Well, I did have a question on what you said
before
the break. I wanted to ask, so if churches do get taxed, you wouldn't pay the taxes?
You mean the church?
Right.
No.
Well, I mean, wouldn't that be illegal?
Since when do you care about the law?
Like all the time?
Actually, you do. Yeah. I tell some folk you're a little more conservative than I am in some
it's
areas.
True.
Yes, and I'm happy about that, to be honest with you. Well, look, you know, Romans 13 does say, pay taxes to whom taxes are due, tribute to whom tribute is due, etc. And the Lord Jesus himself said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, mm-hmm. render unto God's, unto God that which is God's. Love to do a whole broadcast on that verse, because I think we kind of understand it, and we usually apply it pretty appropriately, but I don't think we understand the full force of what's going on there without the context. But again, I'm getting off track. I think it's a very different thing for the church to pay taxes than the individual.
Okay.
And that would be, you know, the simple answer where I'm coming from. I mean, you know, there's a sense in which the government has authority over me. I've been told to submit. And so we do submit. Unless we're asked to violate scripture, etc. But the government doesn't really have authority in one sense. It doesn't have authority over the church. The Church of Jesus Christ is unique. The Church of Jesus Christ is His body, is part of His kingdom. You know, it's not a synonym for the kingdom of God, but it's certainly a major part. And the church and the state should be separate. And you cannot allow the state to control the church in any way. That's why we believe in a separation mm-hmm. of church and state. You can't even, I don't even want benefits, you know, government subsidies, because once the government starts, and this is what I started to say before the break, and I didn't want to get, anyway, when the government starts giving extra benefits and subsidies, say, to the church, when all of a sudden the church is beholden to the government,
mm-hmm.
and someone might say, well, isn't, you know, a tax break a benefit? Well, not in that case. What we're talking about is the fact that the government should have no authority to tax the church, because we don't want to control the church.
What about other religious organizations that wouldn't be necessarily the Church of Jesus Christ?
Well, I believe we believe in religious freedom. We don't believe that the state has the right to control the consciences of men and women, even if they're wrong.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense? I just pulled this up while we were talking here. This is, I guess it's from Baptist Press. I'll give credit there. I haven't really done the research on this, but I had come across this at some point, and I remembered a good quote, and so I just want to read this if I can. Overall, this is just a final little paragraph. There are very good reasons why churches are tax exempt. We need to remember these reasons, proclaim them to others in society who reflexively shout that the church should pay its fair share.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I hear that all the time. He says we should take up the cause of passionate defenders of church tax exemption like Kentucky State Representative Whitaker of the 19th century. Now, this is going back to the 1800s. Listen to this. During the debates on the Kentucky Constitution in 1890, he loudly proclaimed this. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Let an untaxed gospel be preached in an untaxed church house, from an untaxed pulpit. Let the emblem of a crucified but risen Christ be administered from an untaxed altar. And as the spire points heavenward, let it stand forever untaxed. I like that, don't you? That suits my personality. I don't know who that guy is. He's dead now, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So, what are we talking about?
Not quite sure at this point.
We're talking about government overreach. We really are.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about government doing things they shouldn't do. Let's go back to this whole Todd Rutherford issue. You know, the state representative here in South Carolina pressuring Dabo Swinney, for example, to mm-hmm. not accept the invitation to receive an award from the Palmetto Family Council. I mean, here's a government official using his power to discriminate against Dabo Swinney.
Mm-hmm.
Bring public pressure against Dabo Swinney.
Mm-hmm.
Take away his liberty. He's the one who's intolerant. I'm not mad about it. I'm passionate. I always want to speak the truth in love, but I get passionate. You know, Rutherford's the one that would take away our freedom of association. Right?
Yeah.
So we got to stand against government overreach in a biblical way,
mm-hmm.
but we do. And I really had something I was going to bring up after that until we got off on this tax thing. Now, we've actually got a caller. Today's broadcast is a live broadcast, and Rock is on the line. Rock, it's good to hear from you. Go right ahead.
Dr. Paul, you have brought up a really cantankerous subject here, but it does refer to this problem with Mr. Dabo Swinney, too. What Mr. Swinney is attempting to do is to do a Christianity without the Holy Spirit living the God life of Christ through us.
Mm.
He's trying to get along with everybody. And this thing about taxing the churches, we are in a real quandary here because we have to teach people how to live in reality in our human state, in our human condition, in our human position, in our culture, and at the same time live above that by allowing the Holy Spirit to live the God life of Christ through us.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get traumatic.
Sure.
We're trying to do the possible, the obvious, the sane, and the impossible, mm-hmm. the non-obvious, and the insane, this insane thing of a God much greater than us living his life through us at the same time.
Yes.
So it can get to be a hectic thing for us to keep up with all of these little points. And while the church, I'm with you, the church shouldn't be taxed, but then again, we can't very well tell all of these sensible scientific people mm-hmm. at the same time that we aren't living our lives. We are trying to allow the Holy Spirit, God himself, to live the God life, God himself, of Christ, God himself, through us.
Right.
So it overwhelms the, you know, it's an overwhelming point in the picture. That.
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right, Rock. And it is difficult. All of these issues, and not only how to think rightly about these issues, but how to react rightly, only by the power of the Holy Spirit, only by walking in the Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to bear his fruit in us and through us, which is love and patience and kindness and all the rest, and holiness and righteousness. And that is something that we cannot do on our own. It's not something that we can muster up or conjure up. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Spirit of Christ, living his life in us and through us. And And that is the proper focus. You're absolutely right. I appreciate the call, Rock. Okay, he signed off. That's fine. I thought he might have another response to that, but that's okay. We appreciate Rock's call. And again, just to reiterate, walk in the Spirit, the mm-hmm. Bible says. And what will be the result, Christy? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not
fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but the Lord will bear His fruit through you for His glory.
Quick question.
Yes.
You mentioned about the control of the church, that you know, not doing the taxation mm-hmm. allows the church to be free.
Yes.
And keeps the state from controlling. But if same-sex marriage is passed, mm-hmm. then won't the state have to step in and say, there are some things that you're teaching that we cannot allow, and suddenly the state begins to infringe and try to take control back of the church.
Yes, and Gary, this is our producer. What you have done, you have encapsulated what I have unsuccessfully been trying to say for 25 minutes.
That's all right, we're back on the track.
We're back on track. So that's the problem. That's where we're going. And that's why, again, I don't have any particular direction to go here other than to say this is why Christians have to be informed. We have to be aware. We have to kind of see. I mean, you talk about the men of Issachar. Everybody likes to quote that text. You know, they understood the times. Do mm-hmm. we? You know, it's not just a matter of, okay, do you need some theology? Sure. You need the God life, you know, Christ in me. Mm-hmm. Christ living His life through me. We got to have that. We got to have discernment, too. We got to see.
And we need to keep preaching the gospel to other people so that they experience it, too.
Absolutely.
And stand up for what we know is the truth.
That's right. And we stand up in biblical ways.
In love.
In love. Yeah. It doesn't mean we can't be passionate. But it does mean we can't be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take a big old sledgehammer. Right?
Right.
And see, this is the problem. There's a very real sense in which the government, in some ways already, in different political action committees and activist groups in some ways already, are taking a big old sledgehammer
mm-hmm.
to the Christians, to the church. Now, it's not that the church has never been guilty of that. Mm-hmm. It's not that the church isn't guilty of that in some ways now.
Right.
But this is what we're saying. Church, let's don't be guilty of that, right? Church, mm-hmm. let's
not throw the sledgehammer back.
Yeah, let's walk in the power of the Spirit, but let's be aware. And let's propagate the message in love. We want freedom, liberty, and justice for all. That's a biblical concept. That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm sure we'll talk about it on future broadcasts. Join me next time on The Dean's List.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net. where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.